Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest, and I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on credit cards when we come back. You know, Americans today are interrogated, watched, measured, and counted more than at any time in our history. Surveillance and electronic record keeping of nearly every routine activity, from bank deposits to medical visits, has produced greater efficiency and security, all right, but it's also responsible for a very discernible erosion of our ability to live our lives free from outside scrutiny. The federal government alone currently maintains an average of 15 files on every American, according to estimates by the Office of Management and Budget. And closer to home, our state and local governments are using computers to keep their own files on us. And a study conducted by the New York Committee on Open Government found that that state, New York, and its agencies operated 1,776 separate data systems. These systems contain 10,799 categories of information about New York residents, and every one of those systems contained between 2 and 10 million records. Now, information about you is gained from 63 sources, and this information is gathered and stored in a very reasoned and a very logical manner for later retrieval and use. Now, would you like to know how your government, how your bank, your insurance company, how the businesses and the industries around us obtain all of this information from us, and what their sources are, and how do they store it, and how do they retrieve it, and what do they want it for? Well, it's knowing how this information is gathered, it's knowing what information is stored, and it's knowing what information you want to keep personal and private that actually puts you in the driver's seat in your quest for privacy. Now, if you'd like more information about privacy and privacy issues, why don't you call us here at the law school? The number is 417-273-4967. And be sure to ask for our free general law CD package. And let me tell you how to train yourself to be just as personal and private as you want to be. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free of charge. That number again, 417-273-4967 to order yours. Or if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. Just send us an email. Again, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click on the email machine. Send us an email request or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, last time we were taking up the subject matter of credit cards and credit card frauds and scams and one thing and another. And I told you that I tried credit cards one time when I was a youngster. I'd say a youngster, I was in my 20s, I guess. And I had 28 credit cards. In those days, you could only get $250 to $500 worth of credit. Today, it's very common for people to come in here to class and have credit cards with $25,000 on. Common. $25,000 line of credit on a credit card. And I hear there's higher amounts available, I guess, if you're a high roller. But I got into trouble when I only had $250 worth of credit on my credit card, but I had a bunch of them. In those days, they used to give out a lot of these oil company credit cards. You know, I had a bunch of these oil company credit cards. And then there were stores, you know. They were offering all their credit cards, you know, like Penny's and Ward's and Sears and all these companies all had credit cards. And they're all flooding you with these credit cards. And, of course, there was Bank AmeriCard and MasterCard, you know, they were out there, too. And so I discovered that when you went into a store with a credit card, you're not going to walk out of that store with anything short of what your heart desires. And that's just the way human nature works. And that's because human beings are motivated by vanity, jealousy, lust, greed, and fear. Five motivators. Lust and greed is what motivates thieves to steal. They have a greater lust than they can control, and so they don't have an income large enough So they got to have a solution to that short income. So they steal. And they're stealing from you and they're stealing from me. Well, they're not stealing much from me because I don't have any credit cards anymore. I get rid of them. Once I got rid of the credit cards, I got rid of my monetary problems. My money problems just evaporated. They disappeared. Now when I go into a store and I got 50 bucks in my pocket, I can't spend more than the 50 bucks. Sometimes my wife gives me an allowance, you know. And I might have $50 or $75, and I go over to the hardware store, and I need to buy some parts or something. And I go into my wife, and I say, now, can I have $50 or $75? And she questions me very carefully about what am I going to spend this money on. And I tell her I need these parts and one thing and another for the tractor or whatever. And she says, okay, here's the money. And I go to the store, and I can't overspend that way. But in the old days, I used to have a credit card in my pocket, and I'd walk into the store. Maybe I had 50 or 75 bucks in my pocket with the intention of buying some parts, and I'd buy those parts. I put them up on the counter over there. But while I'm shopping for the parts that I need, I find other things that I need. Like I gotta have a pair of battery cables, and then I gotta have some battery jumper cables, and then I gotta have a battery, and then I gotta have, and pretty soon the bill's 110 bucks. But I've only got 75. So I don't put $35 back. I whip out my credit card and I put my credit card down there. And ain't no point taking $75 in good cash and paying the bill. You just put the whole thing on the credit card. Then you keep the 75 bucks in your pocket in case you need to go down to Winchell's Donut Shop or go out to the Olive Garden or something like that for lunch with the boys. See? And then what happens is over time, you know, just give yourself, you know, a few weeks or a couple, 3 months, and pretty soon, you know, you got a pretty hefty bill on that credit card, and pretty soon you haven't got enough money to make the payment. You know, you mean you can't pay that $3,000 on the credit card or the $300 in my case. And so then I would find myself making these minimum payments, you know, or paying something less, you know, send them $100 or something like that. And so pretty soon that catches up with you because now you keep spending on 28 credit cards and pretty soon you're buried so deep. I had $12,000 worth of debt. $12,000 on these credit cards. That's when it dawned on me that I couldn't manage credit. Well, I couldn't manage credit on a credit card because you don't keep track of your spending. And the credit card companies aren't dummies, you know. They're doing that on purpose. Because they know that if you're just the average Joe Sixpack, you're not going to keep track of that spending and you're just going to have a good time and go out and spend all this money. And then they're charging you a pretty hefty rate of interest. In those days, it used to be 1.5% a month, 18% interest. Now, you know, you run up $12,000 worth of debts on your credit cards. I'll just do the numbers for you. Using the rule of 72, we'll just take 72, divide that by 18%. Let me just put 18 in there. And every 4 years, that $12,000 doubles. So if I had that $12,000 debt, I wake up one day and say, oh, my God, my cards are maxed out. I owe $12,000, and then I'm making my payments. If I intended to pay that debt off at 18% interest over a period of 4 years, I would have to pay $24,000 to amortize that loan out. Now, I got $12,000 worth of goods, but I'm going to pay $24,000 for them. Now, if you went into the gas station and you saw that gas was marked at $2.34 a gallon, and you said to yourself, well, I'm going to put that on my credit card. So take the $2.34 times 2, and you're paying $4.68 a gallon is what you people are actually paying for your gasoline. Now, you complain about gas at $2.34, but you buy it on your gas card, or on your credit card, and you pay it out over time, and you're paying $4.68 a gallon. Now, boys and girls, you could drive twice as far if you'd learn how to pay cash. Or, you know, you go in and you see this real neat deal in the Ace hardware store, and here's this Milwaukee skill saw, and maybe at $60. And you say, well, my God, that's a Milwaukee for only $60. I better buy that. So you buy it for the $60, but by the time you pay for it, it costs you $120. Hell, you could have bought it down here at Joe's, you know, someplace, you know, for $75. So the credit cards are not a good deal. They're bad economics is what they boil down to. But it's worse than the bad economics. Much, much worse. There are so many ways to steal from you off of your credit card that it just scares the living bejesus out of me. And so I've decided that I don't want anything to do with them. But let me tell you about some of these credit card scams over here. If you're just, you know, you're just addicted to your credit card, or you're just determined that you got to have this credit card over here. Here's a case where consumers are caught in credit card scams. And they're just totally innocent. I mean, they're just like virgins in Hollywood with no clue as to what that guy's up to down there. It was odd that a package arrived in a box stamped Amazon.com, but the price was right. So Young Chi didn't think much about it. And later he went back online and he bought another 12 or so items from the same eBay seller. And they all arrived from Amazon.com. And he didn't think anything of it until a U.S. postal inspector by the name of Barry Mew showed up at his door asking questions about these packages. All of a sudden, I thought, what did I buy? It was certainly a bad feeling, said Young Chi, who asked that his last name not be published. Young Chi told Mew everything he could about the auctions that he'd recently won on eBay. He said that he assumed that the seller had some business relationship with Amazon.com, and that's why the packages kept arriving from the online retailer. Since he was getting the items at about half of the retail price, he gladly sent money orders to a New York City address as payment and continued doing business with the seller until Mew showed up at his door. But actually, behind the scenes, the seller was simply ordering the merchandise from Amazon with stolen credit cards and having it shipped to the buyer marked as a gift to disguise the billing information so that the unwitting buyer paid with a money order, enabling the seller to easily turn stolen credit card numbers into cash. It was a cash conversion program, a scam, to use stolen credit cards to make money. And this type of scam isn't new to the internet. In the fraud business, it's known as triangulation, said Julie Ferguson of the Merchant Risk Council. It's an Austin, Texas-based consortium of companies that studies online fraud trends. The old-fashioned scheme has reared its ugly head again, said Mew, an online fraud expert, and Amazon isn't the only victim. We're having a big problem out there right now. This has happened to hundreds of people, said Mew. Along with Amazon, the con artists seem to be targeting small, specialized e-commerce sites that sell tools and appliances, and among the merchandise being dangled as bait to unwary auction users, cordless leaf blowers, electric drills, robotic vacuum cleaners, and sewing machines. There's internet merchants sending stuff all over the United States. eBay spokesman Hanny Dersey said that his firm's site has been used in triangulation schemes on rare occasions, but said there hasn't been an increase of incidents. Amazon didn't immediately return requests for an interview. Now, the scheme is so sophisticated that Ferguson suspects that a single group or individual is behind the scam, which seems to come and go in spurts. Now, these guys definitely know what they're doing. They're professionals. This is a guess, but they may get between $50,000 and $500,000 in cash during a 3 to 9 month period. Then, when we actually feel like law enforcement is getting close, he or they disappear. Now, Mew said that the recent spurt of activity has been going on for about 6 months. The package is ordered as a gift, so there's no billing information inside. A glance at the packing slip won't reveal anything out of the ordinary. In fact, it's nearly impossible for consumers to spot the scam ahead of time. outside the red flag of a seller insisting on a money order or electronic funds transfer for payment, that is. eBay strongly advises against using such payment methods because there's no way for consumers to get refunds once they have sent the money. The auction pages posted on eBay look professional, and they ought to. All the text and images are stolen right from the eBay site or from the Amazon site. Consumers caught up in the scheme may find that they have more trouble than a surprise visit from law enforcement. They might actually be out the cash. Now, Young Chi said he's not yet clear what will happen to the items that he unwittingly helped steal from Amazon, but he might be forced to return them or pay for them. Now, there are a few other clues consumers can watch out for, said Young Chi. The sellers always use the exact description of the item that can be found at Amazon. The items always include the text, "Please allow 5 business days for shipping after payment or receipt of payment." Shipping always costs $10, and the sellers generally deal in tools, household appliances, and electronics. And the auctions are almost always one-day auctions, probably because the scam artist is always in a race against time, trying to order the merchandise before the stolen credit card account is shut down. The Merchant Risk Council urges consumers to guard against the scam by asking that the seller provide a serial number for the product on offer or an offer before engaging in the transaction. The agency also recommends that small merchants regularly search Google and auction sites for evidence that their product descriptions have been pilfered. Well, I'm a merchant. You know, I got a product to sell, and I don't take credit cards. And I don't take credit cards because the credit card costs me 5%, maybe more. But if you're a merchant and you think about this, and it costs you 5% to do business on credit cards. And you say to yourself, well, I have to do business with credit cards because. Well, wait a minute. How much are you losing to theft? I mean, you know, start thinking about your profit margin and the thefts that you're suffering from. I told you yesterday about a guy lost $12,000 worth of product on a credit card scam. So he lost his $12,000 worth of product. It's probably, you know, he's probably got $6,000 cash invested in the $12,000 loss. But he didn't make his profit. Took his time, effort, and energy. He's out $6,000 cash. Now amortize that out over a year. And then ask yourself, well, just how profitable are these credit card sales anyway? It may be that your credit card sales are such a large proportion of your business that the loss of $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $50,000 worth of goods is insignificant. I mean, after all, the credit card companies themselves are suffering billions of dollars worth of credit card fraud. And they don't quit sending out credit cards. And that's because they haven't got a dime invested in the credit that they're issuing on this credit card. It's all inflationary money just created right out of thin air. It's total profit to those guys. Whatever gets stolen is no big deal. Not to the credit card company. I don't know about Amazon.com. I don't know how bad they feel about losing their merchandise. But as a little guy down here at the bottom of the totem pole, if I got burned for $12,000, you know, that'd be a big hit. Little guys like us, you know, struggling to make ends meet, we don't have that kind of money to throw around. And so I don't do business on credit cards. I don't have any credit cards. I don't deal in credit cards. I don't take credit cards. I don't deal with banks. I don't have any dealings with the banks, and I don't take checks. And I don't have any losses. Now somebody's going to say, yeah, but you don't have any business. Yeah, but I don't have any losses. How do you like that? I told you last time I was going to tell you about these 21 tips to protect yourself. This comes from Internet Scam Busters, and that's a trademarked name on here. It says Internet Scam Busters trademark. Let's see where I got this. I don't know where I got it. It doesn't have an email down here. It doesn't have a web page. So that's all I can tell you. By Audrey and Jim Lanford. Copyright Audrey and Jim Lanford. All rights reserved. Issue number 79, June 9th, 2004. Today we focus on consumer credit card fraud, and here are 21 tips for protecting yourself. So imagine if you went to Google and you looked for Internet Scam Busters by Audrey and Jim Lanford, you'd probably get a web page somewhere. And there might be something here. I don't know what they're selling or what they do, but let's give them a plug and let's see what they can teach us here. Although credit card fraud is certainly on the rise, and credit card fraud on the internet is rising even more dramatically, many savvy internet shoppers know that the reality is that it's actually much safer to enter your credit card number on a secure online order form than it is to give your credit card to a waiter at a restaurant. Now, that's interesting. And if you are doing business on the internet, it's safer than giving your credit card to the waiter. Now, I showed you about these waiters in the last program. After all, what's to stop the waiter from writing down your credit card number and placing orders on the phone with it later? And research shows that the rate of fraudulent purchases made by cell phones is much higher than credit card fraud on the internet. Purchases made by cell phones is much higher than credit card fraud on the internet. Nevertheless, we encourage you to take precautions when giving out confidential information, including your credit card number, over the internet, over the telephone, or anywhere else for that matter. Now, keep this in mind. This has always befuddled me. Now, of course, for people that are honest and don't steal, practice the Ten Commandments, I guess it's, if everybody did that, we wouldn't have a problem. But the only thing that I need to use your credit card is your credit card number and the expiration date. That's all I got to have. Now, for us honest guys over here, you know, if we're going to, you know, suppose I had your credit card number and your expiration date, and I call Amazon.com and I order some books and I have them sent to my address, it wouldn't take you very long to catch me, would it? You know, you just come to my house and say, hey, Gordon, you used my credit card number. You stole my credit card number. You benefited from it. You're a thief. And we caught you. Because, you know, honest people don't know how to steal. But thieves know how to steal. So they don't have the goods sent to their home address. They have the goods sent to a fake address, a temporary address, an address where they can collect the goods or collect the money, and then you can go knock on their door, but you're not going to find anybody, like I reported with this young Chi fella. I mean, he was just an innocent bystander. He was just buying stuff because it was a good deal and found out that, I'm getting raped, robbed, and pillaged here. All right, and so here's the Internet Scam Busters now. Go to, just look this up, Internet Scam Busters, and they say, hey, it's credit card fraud, 21 tips that you need to protect yourself. So always use common sense. It's the best rule of thumb. Nevertheless, we've created 21 tips to protect yourself from credit card fraud, which you'll find below. First, though, we wanted to mention a much more prevalent, much less publicized aspect of credit card theft or credit card fraud, the dangers of credit card fraud for businesses who accept credit cards over the internet. You can read more about 8 surefire strategies any business owner can use to reduce credit card fraud from Scam Busters. You can get it by clicking here, but it says scambusters23.html. I don't know what that means. So I'd say Scam Busters is probably on Google, and if you'll go to Scam Busters, you can probably get their internet address. And if you're a business owner and you're using your credit cards, you know, to sell your goods, they've got 8 surefire strategies that any business owner can use to reduce credit card fraud. Internet Scam Busters 21 Credit Card Fraud Prevention Tips. 1. Keep an eye on your credit card every time you use it. and make sure that you get it back as quickly as possible. Try not to let your credit card out of your sight whenever possible. Don't let it out of your sight. Again, here's your problem with the guy that's the waiter. You know, he's got your credit card number. The guy that took the picture of it, you know, he had the credit card. And he took the picture because it was less conspicuous than picking up a pen and writing the number and expiration down on a piece of paper. But you know, once it's out of your sight and the guy goes over here to the cashier and the cashier over there is writing down the credit card number, once he's got the number, whether he takes a picture of it or whether he's writing it down, once they've got that number, they've got it. I don't know of any way that you can prevent that, because that's all they're asking for over the telephone. What's your expiration date and your credit card number? All right, so number two, be very careful to whom you give your credit card. Don't give your account number over the phone unless you initiate the call and you know the company is reputable. And never give your credit card information out when you receive a phone call. For example, if you're told there's been a computer problem and the caller needs to verify some information and they need this credit card number. You know, legitimate companies don't call you to ask for a credit card number over the telephone. So tuck that one away in your heart. Somebody asks you for your credit card number, you're getting set up. Never respond to emails that request that you provide your credit card information by way of email. And don't ever respond to emails that ask you to go to a website to verify personal and credit card information. These are called phishing scams, spelled P-H-I-S-H-I-N-G, phishing scams. These are, by the way, let me just add in, these are 21 reasons why you should not have a credit card. You know, this is almost like health and nutrition. I did a series last week or the week before on health and nutrition. I said, hey, listen, I'm not smart enough as a crummy plumber to know all about lysine and vitamins and minerals and all of these five-syllable double-action knee action or double-jointed knee-action words. And there's 92 of these vitamins and minerals. I can't remember 92 vitamins and minerals. Hell, I can't remember 21 credit card scams to watch out for. It's beyond my old brain to figure that out and to remember all that. So that's why I came up with an old man's scam to prevent credit card fraud. Don't have a credit card. Nobody will steal it from you. But, you know, here again, if you're young and you've got a good memory over here, let's see if you can remember number four, never provide your credit card information on a website that is not a secured site. I don't even know what the hell a secured website is. I haven't got a clue as to what a secured website is. And if you're like I am and you don't know what a secure website is, well, then of what value is number four? But, you know, if you're a smart guy and somebody says that they want your credit card information, well, you don't give it unless it's a secured site. Then sign your credit cards as soon as you receive them. So as soon as you get a credit card, you put your signature on the credit card. Now, I gotta underline that one. When was the last time that anybody ever looked at your credit card signature on your card and compared it to the signature that you've got down here on the receipt? In fact, the last time I knew, you could give your credit card to your kid and your kid could go down and use your credit card and sign his name on the receipt as long as he had your credit card. He's got the physical card in his hand. Shred all credit card applications that you receive. Shred all credit card applications that you receive. Huh, that's interesting. I guess, and I've received some of those, and I didn't shred them. No siree, Bob. I don't know what I did with them. I suppose I just threw them in the fire and burned them. I hope I didn't. But anyway, I guess if they sent me a credit card application, you might take that credit card application and fill it out and send it in my name, get a credit card issued in my name with my credit, if you could do that, and then you'd have my credit card in your pocket. Now, wouldn't that be just real special? Hey, listen, we're on number 6 there. Let me pause here for a moment and remind you that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. We're talking about credit card fraud. And the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and worldwide on the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to the homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has a radio log schedule and archives, and that can be accessed through the website. And the Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do it 7 days a week. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order one. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. And the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that those authors or publications that we endorse and recommend are necessarily going to reciprocate. And that's because most of these authors and publications that we cite on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint is not necessarily totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or local radio station. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about credit card fraud. 21 tips that we can give you to protect you from credit card scammers. The best tip you can get is get rid of your credit cards. But if for some reason you can't do that, number 7, don't write your PIN number, your PIN number on your credit card. Don't have your PIN number anywhere near your credit card. In the event that your wallet gets stolen, that PIN number, if you can't remember it and you got to write it down, you don't want to be carrying that in your wallet. Your wallet gets stolen, they get your PIN number and the credit card. Number 8, never leave your credit cards or receipts laying around. Those receipts that you've got, you want to guard those like they're $20 bills. Credit cards, you got to guard it like it's a $1,000 bill. Shield your credit card number so that others around you can't copy it or capture it on a cell phone or other camera. Well, again, you know, once you give your credit card to the waitress and she's gone with it for 5 minutes while they're making a transaction. And after all, this is steak and ale, and after all, this is Red Lobster, and we don't expect this to happen here, you know. They can take your number. They can photograph it. But anyway, you need to shield your credit card number so that others around you can't copy or capture it on a cell phone or other. If they're taking this information, you know, over the over the cash register over here. I mean, they've got your credit card. They've got the information right there in their own data bank. All right, so number 10, keep a list in a secure place with all of your account numbers and expiration dates, as well as the phone number and address of each bank that has issued you a credit card. And keep this list updated each time you get a new credit card. Boy, that's a lot of bookkeeping, isn't it? One of the reasons for this credit card was to eliminate all this bookkeeping, you know. I find that $100 bills work just as well as credit cards. Just to pass that on to you. Number 11, only carry around credit cards that you absolutely need. Don't carry around extra credit cards that you rarely use. Number 12, open credit card bills promptly and then make sure there are no bogus charges. Boy, you got to audit your account every month. Treat your credit card bill like your checking account. Reconcile it monthly. How many of you reconcile your checkbook monthly? Boy, as soon as your checks come in or your checking account statement comes in, boy, you sit right down and you go through all your checks, don't you? I used to have a checking account. I used to reconcile my checking account once a year, maybe. Or at least I'd tell my wife to do it. Open your credit card bills promptly and make sure that there aren't any bogus charges. And treat your credit card bill like your checking account. Do it every month. Save your receipts so that you can compare them with your monthly bills. That means you got to save your receipts just like you do your canceled checks. You got to handle your credit card account now just like you do your checking account. In fact, you'd probably be safer using checks than credit cards. Number 13, if you find any charges that you don't have a receipt for or that you don't recognize, report these charges promptly in writing to the credit card issuer. Don't just call this guy on the phone and say, hey, sweetheart, you've got a couple of bills on here that ain't mine and blah, 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 because you're liable to find out that, oh, okay. It's got to be done in writing. You want to make sure that you keep a copy of that writing over there so that the credit card company says, well, we're going to turn this down. You got a legal basis. This is called exculpatory evidence. You're looking for evidence that will exonerate you. Evidence that exonerates you is called exculpatory evidence. Number 14, always void and destroy incorrect receipts. Number 15, shred anything with your credit card number written on it. Well, you can do one more thing. You can burn it. Of course, I guess the reason that shredders are so popular is that nobody has a stove anymore. I guess if you live in the city, what would you have a stove for? You might have a fireplace if you got a house. You know, you might have a fireplace. Number 16, never sign a blank credit card receipt. Carefully draw a line through blank portions of the receipt where additional charges could be fraudulently added. Carbon paper is rarely used these days, but if there's a carbon that is used in a credit card transaction, destroy that carbon immediately. Yeah, when I had credit cards, they had these carbons in there. Now I think they use NCR paper. But in any event, if there's a carbon in there, you know, make sure that you get that carbon. Don't let somebody else have it. Number 18, never write your credit card number in a public place, such as on a postcard, or so that it shows through the envelope payment window. Huh. Oh, my gosh. The envelope payment window. Number 19, ideally, it's a good idea to carry your credit card separately from your wallet, perhaps in a zippered compartment or a small pouch. That way, if they don't steal your wallet, they steal your credit cards in your pouch and they get them all. Number 20, never lend a credit card to anybody else. Oh, never lend a credit card to anybody else. That used to be pretty common when I was a kid. You know, here, Charlie, here, take my credit card and go down and fill up the truck. Number 21, if you move, notify your credit card issuers in advance of your change of address. And if you suspect that there's a credit card fraud, if your credit cards are lost or stolen, contact the issuers immediately. Most credit card companies have toll-free numbers and 24-hour service to deal with these emergencies. They are very eager to avoid credit card fraud. According to U.S. law, once you have reported the loss or theft of your credit card, you have no more responsibility for any unauthorized charges. Further, your maximum liability under federal law is $50 per credit card, and many credit card issuers will even waive that fee for good customers. If you follow all these tips, it'll go a long way in protecting you from credit card fraud. 21 tips. If you'd like a copy of these 21 tips over here, let me tell you where to go. You're looking for Internet Scam Busters by Audrey and Jim Lanford. It's copyrighted material, Audrey and Jim Lanford, all rights reserved. Issue number 79, June 9th, 2004. I'm sure Dirk Pook pulled this in off of the internet. I don't know how he got it, but probably went to their website. So if you go to Google, I'm sure you can get Internet Scam Busters. And you want issue number 79, June 9th, 2004, credit card fraud, 21 tips to protect yourself. Now, here's another one from Internet Scam Busters, issue number 23. Issue number 23, Internet Scam Busters. First, here's the favorite. As you know, Internet Scam Busters is free. If you like this e-zine, would you tell three or four of your friends or colleagues about it and suggest that they subscribe or forward this issue on to them? Just please don't remove the copyright notice, and also please don't spam the issue. We'd like to double our subscriber base. So if our subscribers recommend it to three or four colleagues or friends, we'll quickly achieve our goal. So thank you very much. Well, we'll help you do that. That's Audrey and Jim Lanford. They don't know how fortunate they are that we're airing this over the air, and they can get free advertising. If you're a business owner, you might want to subscribe to the Internet Scam Busters. It might give you a couple of pointers there that might save you some bucks. I got a surefire scam buster solution. Don't deal in credit cards. The credit card appears to me to be so vulnerable that I'd be scared to use it. That's just my personal view. All right, let's try a little bit more here. Next, we appreciate everyone who sent us additional sites about urban legends and email hoaxes. We've compiled a list of those also at Urban Legends. And again, let us know about other good resources that we've missed. And we've also posted two very insightful articles about spam on the Scam Busters site. The first is called The Fine Line Between Legitimate Email Marketing and Spam. The second article is called What is Spam and What Isn't? I don't know what spam is. The boy tells me every once in a while he got spammed. Maybe some of the rest of you out there might want an article like What is Spam and What Isn't? Finally, Dan Gentle, see below, has written an excellent book called Risky Business. Protect your business from being stalked, conned, or blackmailed on the web. We highly recommend this book to people who want to learn more about the darker side of the internet and how to protect themselves. BTW, we received no compensation for this. I don't know what BTW means, but BTW, we received no compensation for this endorsement or any other book. We recommend in Internet Scam Busters, although many companies have asked us to advertise or sponsor this e-zine, we don't accept advertising. And the only promotions that you'll see here are for our own products and services. And you'll find these at the end above the subscriber information. Okay, so on to this month's topic. Here we go. 8 surefire strategies that any business owner can use to reduce credit card fraud. Well, over the past 4 years, there's been an enormous amount of publicity about the dangers of credit card fraud on the net. So when you add movies like The Net to the news articles about internet fraud, it's hardly surprising that consumers are nervous about giving out their credit card numbers over the net. Yet, as many savvy internet shoppers now know, the reality is that it's actually much safer to enter your credit card number on a secure online order form than it is to give your credit card to a waiter at a restaurant. After all, what's to stop the waiter from writing down your credit card number and then placing orders on the phone with it later? And research shows that the rate of fraudulent purchases made by cell phones is much higher than credit card fraud on the net. So naturally, we do encourage you to take precautions when giving out any confidential information, including your credit card number over the internet or over the phone, or anywhere else for that matter, and always use common sense. It's the best rule of thumb. However, this issue of internet scam busters is not about the dangers of credit card fraud for consumers. Rather, it's about a much more prevalent and much less publicized aspect of credit card fraud, and that is the dangers of credit card fraud for businesses who accept credit cards over the internet. There's been a tremendous increase in the number of merchants who have been scammed by crooks who place fraudulent orders using stolen credit card information. Unfortunately, merchants are not provided the same protection as consumers when it comes to credit card fraud. In fact, merchants are completely at risk. It's another reason why you ought to avoid the use of them, but then nevertheless, it costs you 5% on the sale, so we got to raise prices 5% to deal in credit cards to start with, and then if there's a credit card fraud, you've got no recourse, but the credit card holder for $50, if he reports his credit card is stolen or that he's got purchases on his bill that don't belong there, he gets protected. All right, so here's a personal example. Our company experienced its first encounter with credit card fraud last month. Someone stole a credit card account number and then used the stolen number to purchase a $500 product from our company. The crook knew the cardholder's correct address, provided our company with that information, but requested that the product be shipped to a different address. Well, since it isn't uncommon for our customers to request a ship-to-address, which is different than the bill-to-address, at first we didn't think much about it. Our policy is to send the invoices to the bill-to-address, which we did. A few days later, we got a call from the customer whose card number was stolen, informing us that he never purchased anything from us. Now, this particular scam buster used one of the free email services, Juno, J-U-N-O, to open an email account in the stolen cardholder's name, which made the transaction appear more legitimate. So we informed Juno's security department of the fraud taking place. Juno said that they shut down the scamster's account. And although we got authorization and approval from our merchant account vendor, we still bear all of the loss. So we contacted the banks and the merchant providers involved, and we even contacted the police. The banks, the merchant providers, and police were not able to help, mainly because they were too busy or felt that the dollar amount involved, $500, was not significant enough to warrant any further action. So we talked about this last time. You know, if you're talking about small amounts, $25. Hell, for $25, even the customer, if he doesn't audit his bill every month, he wouldn't catch $25. I mean, somebody could steal your credit card number and go out here and be eaten, you know, at the restaurants using that number, just moving around from restaurant to restaurant, eating off of your account. And if he has 25 accounts, 25 numbers that he's stolen, just uses one a month, would you remember whether or not you ate at the Olive Garden on February the 9th or on June 16th? and that the bill was $18.40 or whatever it was. Would you remember that? So, you know, here again, if a guy's, you know, using his head, you know, just being the devil's advocate here. Let's say you got a waiter. He's got access to hundreds of card numbers. All of these are just normal run-of-the-mill people. And he's out here using your number to buy stuff, you know. Now, typically, if he goes to a restaurant, he's got to have the card in order to make the transaction. But again, I'm just throwing out an idea to you. You know, if this guy is buying a book from Amazon and it's only one, he's buying one of this and it's a small amount. So I remember I used to have credit cards, and I can tell you, I never audited mine, never. If somebody was charging on my accounts, they could have just been living the life of Riley. I'd have never figured it out. Never. I spent more time reconciling my checkbook than I ever did a credit card account. And remember now, the Scambusters people are telling you here, you got to do your credit card accounts every month just like you do your checking account. Well, geez, if you got 10 credit cards, you got to reconcile your checking account every month. You got to do every credit card every month. You know, by the time you get 10 credit cards, I mean, what are you going to do? Be a CPA? I mean, you got to be a CPA in order to keep all of these accounts going, don't you? I just throw it out there for your consideration. Now, based on this experience, we decided to do some research and see how other merchants handle this problem. So we discovered that credit card fraud is quickly becoming a serious problem for many internet merchants. In fact, given the scope of this problem, we were surprised that this issue has not received more publicity. Now, we also discovered that crooks can now create fictitious credit card numbers based on the algorithms used to produce authentic numbers. These fictitious credit card numbers pass through verification and will be given approval codes. Further, there are news groups which post stolen credit card data. So if your credit card is stolen, it may be posted to the world in a matter of minutes. There's 8 steps to minimize credit card fraud for merchants. Number 1, begin taking a few extra steps to validate each order. Don't accept orders unless complete information is provided, including full address and phone number. We also now require address verification for all of our credit card holders. Be wary of orders with different bill to and ship to addresses. We now require anyone who uses a different ship to address to send us a fax with their signature and credit card number authorizing the transaction. 3, be especially careful with orders that come from free email services. There is a much higher incidence of fraud from these services, such as Hotmail.com or Juno.com, USA.net, and so on. Many businesses won't even accept orders that come through these free email accounts anymore. That's because it's so easy for a scamster to open a free, anonymous email account in another person's name and then send you, the merchant, an order using the fake email account and a fraudulent credit card number, just as in our example above. Since there are so many free email services, how do you know if the order you receive is from one of these free email services? Well, you can check a list of 700 plus of these free email services. 700 of them. Well, who in the hell's got time to check 700 of them? You can also find an excellent article published in this same site, or at this site, antifraud.com, which provides a good, although not foolproof, suggestion for verifying email addresses. Check every email address by typing www in front of the domain name of the email address into your browser. For example, if you got an order addressed from audri@scambusters.org and you typed www.scambusters.org, you'd get to the Scambusters website, which is a legitimate website. Or if you got an order from Sally Smith at netcom.com, you'd type in www.netcom.com, and you'd be at a legitimate ISP. On the other hand, the article suggests that if you got an order from Joe Smith at cyberdude.com and typed in www.cyberdude.com, you'd find yourself at a site which offers 150 free email domains. We're not saying that CyberDudes or Juno, Hotmail, etc. are not legitimate. Rather, we're suggesting that orders that come from these free email services warrant additional care and attention. Like, call the guy on the phone and say, I'm just calling to confirm your order that you put in today. What precautions should you take with orders from free email accounts? We recommend sending an email requesting additional information before you process the order. More specifically, ask for a non-free mail address, the name and phone number of the bank that issued the credit card, the exact name on the credit card, and the exact billing address. Often, you won't get a reply. If you do, you can easily verify the information, which you should take the time to do. Never risk more than you can afford to lose. Be especially wary of orders that are larger than your typical order amount and orders with next day delivery. Crooks don't care what it costs since they're not planning on paying for it anyway. That's number four. You got to be especially wary of orders that are larger than your typical order amount. See, take a look at your averages and somebody sends you a $12,000 order. You know, you ought to be especially wary of big orders. But again, my old daddy told me, he said, you know, son, if you get greedy, you get caught. If you get greedy, you get caught. Keep it small. And that's what these guys are doing. Now, I've read a number of articles. They're just ordering little small amounts, little dribs and drabs here and there. Nobody gets wise. Nobody gets suspicious as to what the hell's going on. And pretty soon they're stealing dribs and drabs until it totals up to 14,000, which is what I showed you the other day. And 500 doesn't seem to tip the scales. 500 bucks doesn't tip anybody off. Now, a $500 order to me would be pretty significant. I don't know about you, but $500, you know, it's $500. Hey, next time we'll take it up right there. Remember the class that we're doing here on the 5th to the 9th here in Isabel. If you're interested, give my wife Jackie a call. We're offering a new class on health and healing, which covers the alternative health methods being used for treatment and healing of the botch of Egypt. Be sure you call us and ask for more information here at the law school. The number to call, 417-273-4967. All right, we're about out of time, as is typically happens here when you're having fun. So let me remind you that you have been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law School or the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at area code 417-273-4967. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hey, our time's up. We got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.